song called Give Me Back My Heart, and before that, nice record by Kokomo, Let Me Have It All. 8.5 minutes before 7 o'clock, and Jason Mayne has arrived with a... Is that a pig beneath your arm from the spring show?
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Happy birthday, my man.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 run what you should get. An eye for an eye, two for two. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Right on.
Thank you.
medley from Star Sound, and that winds it up for me. Nova News follows at 7, and Linda's been to the Spring Show, and she'll be letting us know what happened at the Spring Show today, following the 7 o'clock news. 7:30 tonight, Jason Mayne from me. Until tomorrow, bye-bye.
The best music.
John Clark.
On Radio Nova.
Silvercrin anti-dandruff shampoo has a special formulation for a really effective dandruff treatment. Get the freshest, cleanest feeling with Silvercrin shampoo.
Silvercrin clean, the fresh, clean feeling. Silvercrin clean, the fresh, clean feeling.
The Red Corner Shop, the name that started a revolution in furniture discount sales. An epic tale of bulk buying, of importing across frontiers, and of keeping the quality high. Full marks to the Red Corner Shop, carrying on the struggle, the fight against overexpensive furniture, so that every home can have quality goods at a fair price. The Red Corner Shop, 89 Lower Dorset Street. You can't miss it, and you can't afford to miss it.
1 Hour Photo Labs, a first for Ireland in color photo developing and printing. 1 Hour Photo Labs give an unmatched combination of quality and speed by using the world's newest, most sophisticated processing equipment. 1 Hour Photo Labs means clear, sharp, long-lasting color prints on Kodak paper, plus a free photo album every time. 1 Hour Photo Labs, ILAC Center, and Galleria St. Stephen's Green. 1 Hour Photo Labs. You don't have to wait any longer.
Broadcasting from Dublin on 846 kHz medium wave and 88 FM in stereo. This is Radio Nova, where the time now is 7 p.m.
Nova World News Summary with Tony Allen and Sybil Fennell. Good evening. The headlines. Reports are persisting from Washington of a major new air-sea battle between Argentine and British forces around the Falkland Islands. The British Defence Secretary, Mr. John Knott, has told the House of Commons that he could neither confirm nor deny the claims. He has no knowledge. But he has confirmed that 30 men are missing, feared dead, from the HMS Sheffield, which was attacked yesterday by the Argentines. In the north, a booby-trap device was discovered in Derry this afternoon. It's been defused. And again in Derry, two men have been charged with the murder of UDR member Leslie Hamilton last week. And Roman Catholic bishops in Poland have expressed their fears for the future of the country. The British Defence Secretary, Mr. John Knott, has said that about 30 members of the crew of the HMS Sheffield are still missing and are presumed dead. The Defence Secretary was making a statement in the House of Commons this afternoon about the Argentine missile attack on the destroyer off the Falkland Islands yesterday. The Foreign Secretary, Mr. Francis Pym, said that the military losses emphasised the urgent need for a diplomatic solution to be found. He said that since his return from the United States, he's remained in close touch with the American Secretary of State, Alexander Haig. He said that the British government was sparing no effort to find a peaceful solution. Persistent reports from Washington say a major new air and sea battle is underway between British and Argentine forces in the South Atlantic. The reports come from sources in the Pentagon, but the British Ministry of Defence says that it has no knowledge of any new fighting, and this was repeated by the Defence Secretary, Mr. John Knott, in the House of Commons. The reports, which remain unconfirmed, are believed to be based on American interceptor communications between the ships of the British fleet and radio signals from Buenos Aires. Another British journalist has been arrested in Argentina. He was among a group of five overseas journalists who are reported to have been detained in the southern Argentine city of Bahia Blanca. Two Argentine interpreters were also arrested. And it's reported from Buenos Aires that the Argentine Foreign Minister, Mr. Costa Mendes, has denied that he's planning to travel to the United Nations. President Reagan is reported to be keeping in close touch with developments.
The latest Falkland clashes have led to mounting diplomatic pressure to find a negotiated settlement of the crisis. The British and Argentine governments are said to be considering ideas drawn up by Peru, which were put to them by the American Secretary of State, Mr. Alexander Haig. It's thought that the proposals involve both sides observing a 48-hour ceasefire. France has called for a halt to the fighting, and the West Germans have urged both sides to try to reach a peaceful solution. Argentina has devalued the peso by about 17% against the American dollar today. And Pope John Paul prayed today for the success of United Nations efforts to end the conflict in the Falklands. At his weekly general audience, he also asked for prayers for the victims of both sides. The Defense Secretary of Britain, Mr. John Knott, is to have private talks with his American counterpart, Caspar Weinberger, in Brussels tomorrow. A regular session of NATO defense ministers will follow these discussions.
And now the rest of the news. In the north, the police in Derry say that two people have been charged with the murder of the part-time Ulster Defence Regiment officer, Leslie Hamilton. They're due to appear in court later tonight. Mr. Hamilton was murdered last Tuesday while delivering bread to a Derry City supermarket. A new financial institution backed by the Catholic hierarchy is to be set up by the Rural Housing Organisation. It will offer banking services, community development funds and home loans at reasonable rates of interest.
A booby-trap device was discovered at the rear of the Waterside Police Station in Derry earlier today. Police say it was 12 pounds of explosives packed into a gas cylinder. The discovery was made after a grenade was found at the rear of the building. Army bomb disposal experts have defused the device. Legislation to tighten the voting laws is to be introduced in the Dáil next Tuesday. The bill was circulated to Dáil deputies this morning. Under the new bill, it will be an offence for a person to apply for a ballot paper in someone else's name or to seek a second ballot paper in the same election under his or her own name. With the agreement of all parties, the bill is likely to become law before the Dublin West by-election, which is on the 25th of May.
The Roman Catholic bishops in Poland have spoken of their fears for the country's future following several days of demonstrations and protest at martial law regulations. They've called for new talks between the authorities and the suspended Solidarity trade union. And according to a secret radio station in Poland, the Solidarity leader, Mr. Lech Wałęsa, is now in detention in an area close to the border with the Soviet Union. It hasn't been made clear why he's been moved from the house in Warsaw, where he'd been held under guard since the military clampdown last December. The British independent airline Danair has been given the go-ahead for new routes between London and Dublin and London and Shannon. In return, Aer Lingus will be given concessions at Gatwick in London and Aldergrove Airport in Belfast. The new London to Dublin service will begin next month. In Britain, Dockers leaders meeting in London this afternoon have decided to postpone next Monday's planned national dock strike. A spokesman for the main union concerned said that they were concerned at the impact of the strike in view of the Falklands crisis.
Italian police say that one of the country's most wanted right-wing terrorists has died in hospital after being shot during a police raid on a Rome apartment. Giorgio Valli, who was 21, was suspected of involvement in the murder of a Rome magistrate in June 1980 and the Bologna railway station bombing 2 months later, in which 85 people died. In the Middle East, there's been more violence in Israeli-occupied territories. In the West Bank, four Palestinian youths have been killed by a landmine which exploded whilst they were handling it. And in the Gaza Strip, Israeli soldiers have shot and wounded two Palestinians. It's reported that the Soviet Union has agreed to pay compensation of at least £80,000 to Sweden following the running aground of a Soviet submarine near the Swedish naval base at Karlskrona last October. The Swedish government had demanded payment for the cost of guarding and later refloating the submarine.
Pop singer Gilbert O'Sullivan has won a high court battle for a share of the fortune earned from the sales of his records. The judge in the Hague case held that O'Sullivan had been exploited by his former manager, Gordon Mills. Between 1970 and 1978, Gilbert O'Sullivan's records grossed more than £14.5 million, of which the singer received less than £500,000. How much he's now to receive has yet to be worked out. Financial news, the Financial Times index closed down 8.8 at 575.4. The Dow Jones index at 5 o'clock this evening was up 4 points exactly at 858.45. Stock prices moved higher in moderate trading today, and Wall Street is beginning to anticipate an economic upturn this summer. The Irish pound closed at 82.76 against the pound sterling, that's up slightly, and at 149.02 against the American dollar, again, that's up.
A look at the weather. A mainly clear night in all areas. It'll be cool with temperatures falling to 2 degrees overnight. Winds will be light to moderate and there'll be scattered outbreaks of rain in all areas this evening. And finally, Sybil said we'll find exactly how good a newsreader you are. I don't know if I can get through this. In England, it's been announced that mixed sauna sessions are to be introduced to the town of Belper in Derbyshire. But there is one stipulation. Adults must be accompanied by a child. Instead of being asked to produce a marriage license, councillors decided that the presence of a child would be, quote, sufficient proof of a meaningful and fruitful relationship.
Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure.
Nova World News Summary at 7:08.
Good night.
Good night.
Radio Nova.
The Apollo 1 discount countdown continues.
2, 1, 0, 0.
Belial, the world-famous expensive suntan lotion, isn't so expensive at Apollo 1. Yes. Belial suntan lotion, normally £3.75, is now on sale at the Apollo 1 discount superstore for £1.95 a bottle. Take a bottle with you on your holidays. Or better still, take 3 bottles for £5. Summer savings are truly amazing at the Apollo 1 discount superstore, 57 Moore Street.
And the discount countdown continues 7 days a week.
Choosing a restaurant? Is it difficult? But then maybe you'd like to try something really different for a change. And at the same time, very reasonably priced. The Bellevue Restaurant, newly opened in Upper Pembroke Street beside the Grey Door, invites you to see the difference for yourself. You can wine and dine in pleasant, relaxed surroundings and choose from our specialised steaks menu from as little as £12 for two. So for that something really different, why not try the Bellevue Restaurant, 23 Upper Pembroke Street, adjacent to Fitzwilliam Square. We're open Monday to Saturday till 12:30 a.m. or phone 766-890 for your reservation.
Pelock Summer Camp, set in peaceful countryside near Carberry, County Kildare. What draws the elite of 8 to 12-year-olds to this holiday mecca? We talk to veterans.
I've been on a summer camp once before and I'd like to go again.
Adventurous types.
Because I've never been on one.
And enthusiasts.
We can have great fun.
At Pelock, boys and girls get great food and the right amount of attention. Are just some of the more popular pastimes. At Pelock,
you won't get bored.
At £50 per week, Pelock is the perfect summer camp for 8 to 12-year-olds. It commences on June the 11th, but intake is limited to 24 children per week. To book or inquire, please telephone Dublin 808-615.
Pelock Summer Camp. Great fun.
Hello, I'm Linda Conway, and you're very welcome to the Wednesday Report. The 151st Spring Show opened at the RDS yesterday, and already the organisers are predicting a success. The show is traditionally the week when farming comes to town, and in style, may I add, and when I went along today, it proved no exception. Now, it would probably take me all evening to tell you what's there to be seen. There's everything from machinery to livestock to dairy products. There is everything that's usual and unusual in the farming world. On Friday, for example, there's an international sheep shearing contest, and for the first time, a woman will be competing for the title, and that should be very interesting. Well, as I say, the Spring Show is certainly a showcase for the farming world, but do city people visiting the RDS really understand the farming community? I put that question to one farmer this afternoon.
I don't think they do. That's unfortunately, but I don't think they do. I think they would need to go out to farms and see what goes on in farms and the amount of work and the long hours farmers puts into it. I think it would be a big benefit to farmer-country relations.
What sort of hours would a farmer put in?
Well, it varies from one time of the year to the other. In the springtime of the year, hours doesn't matter. It's how long you can last on a tractor or how long you can keep going. It can get very tiring, but nevertheless, we go through it. It depends on weather conditions and all the rest.
Do you think a farmer's life is harder than, say, the city 9 to 5?
I, for one, wouldn't like to be in a city because I'm not that type. Farming is a way of life for me. I do long hours and hard hours. I also, in the summertime of the year, we might have a slack time. In the winter, it can be very dirty and it can be very hard to work in, and conditions are bad, very cold, whereas in the city, I think, this is my opinion, that you can have a nice clean job and maybe more money at the end of the day.
Do you think that the farming industry now is in a bad way?
Yes, it's lacking in investments. Farmers need a lot of money at the present time with the inflation rates that I've seen here at the show. Take, for instance, tractors going up 20% and VAT going on. It's just gone beyond. I was talking to a tractor dealer recently, and he said if he was depending on selling new stuff, he was out of business. He's gone now to selling second-hand stuff, and it's keeping him in business. And that is the signs of the times with the farmers.
What would you like to see to help the farmers? Is there anything that can be done to help the farmers?
Well, I think the main thing would be to get down inflation. I would like if our governments would take a lot more interest in farming, I think, than neglect it. Maybe a lot of people doesn't think that's happening in the city and in the towns, but it's a fact of life.
Do you think shows like this help when Dubliners come in and walk around and maybe city people come in and see what a show, what a farming show is all about? Do you think maybe that helps people to understand a little bit more about farming?
Yeah, but it's the nice side of the story, you see, or nice side of the whole thing, you see. It's a show. It's not what you see in the, out in the country or out in the farms when you're on your own and there's you see new machinery, you see new tractors, and you see all new. But when you have a 10-year-old tractor and something breaking down, it's a different story. And that is the impression a show gives to the city people and the townspeople.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of farming in Ireland?
I'm afraid I couldn't say that I'm optimistic. And I think it's like that with a lot of farmers. But nevertheless, I'd say the progressive, the efficient farmer will survive, but I think the inefficient farmer has a poor chance.
The predictions of one farmer there pricing machinery at the show today. Well, this year sees the biggest display of farm machinery and equipment ever at Balls Bridge, and there was certainly a great deal of interest in a range of turf brick machines on display. They're estimated to cut your energy bills by 60%. Well, I asked one of the distributors about the machine that was causing so much excitement.
Well, this particular one is a turf gasifier. And it's a new principle of getting a more efficient way of burning turf or, let's say, wood chips, which are two waste products which we have, or not waste, energy products, as we call them now, in Ireland. That this year there have been, about two from our own company, we have made 250 Habstiffco turf cutting machines, which have been now sold, which means that there will be about 1 million tons of extra turf coming onto the market. And we have a research company in Wicklow where we are developing different principles of utilizing turf.
What does that mean though to people living in the city? I mean, will it make life cheaper for them?
I tell you, it will change the life in Ireland. It means that he has access, unlimited, more or less unlimited access to very, very cheap energy. And on top of that is, of course, energy from Ireland, which means our own resources.
Is that sort of energy though suitable for cooking, for example?
Oh, by all means. That we have here different cookers, as you perhaps have seen here on our stand, where you can burn, for instance, with our turf direct. Just put our turf into the cooker and bake. And you're spending about 60%. Turf is about 60% of the coal price. So you're saving 60% of whatever money you spend. So it must be very, very exciting for the housewives.
One of the exhibitors there today, and in fact later he told me that a man who owns bogland now is in fact as rich as a man who owns an oil well. Well, believe that if you will. Well, sadly there was no show jumping at the show, because this year there's going to be an international event next month. But there were some magnificent horses, and of course there were some lovely ponies as well. I met two 16-year-olds from Kintyrnan, Carol and Mac, who were entering their ponies, and I first asked Carol what was the name of her pony.
Little Fella, that's his name. He's a 7-year-old bay gelding. He's 15 hands. And this is his first time in here. I only have him a while. I only have him for about 3 months now, so he's only new. I don't know how he'd react on the day.
Now, how do you rate your chances in the show?
Well, it all depends on the animal himself, how he reacts to it all. I don't know. If he behaves himself, he might do okay, but it depends.
So how many hours do you put in of a week with the little fella?
Well, it's hard for me at the moment because I'm still at school. I'm in fifth year, and I have to get up before I go to school and muck him out, feed him, and coming near to the show there, I was riding him in the mornings as well, and then when I come home from school, I usually have to I usually ride him for about an hour to 2 hours and groom him for the same, you know, for another hour and a half or so, and I suppose, I don't know, a lot of my time goes with him, you know, but I enjoy it.
Mac, can you tell me the name of your pony?
His name is Flyaway. He's a 14-2 grey gelding, and he's entering the hack class in spring show this year.
Now, what sort of things will the judges be looking for in the hack class?
Well, basic thing in the hack class is for manners.
And how long have you been training him for? Over what period of time?
Well, it must be over 2-3 months since the beginning of the year, January, February.
Do you think he's ready for this event now?
Reasonably, he's okay.
How does he behave here in his little box? Because I notice there's a lot of children walking around and looking at him and trying to touch him. How does he react to that?
No problem at all. He's a very friendly pony. He doesn't mind people petting or anything like that.
Now, when is your event?
Tomorrow, on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Yeah, I think it's ring one, is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, ring one.
Now, what happens when you go into the ring? Can you describe what's going to go on?
First of all, you're asked the judge or the steward, the steward will ask you to walk around. You walk around in the arena, then he'll ask you to trot on and then canter. Now, the judged then. They're looking at the horses on both reins. That means one time going around to the left, one time going around to the right. And the judges will be looking. Judge will be looking at them to see how the ponies are going well. And then if there are any which may be going bad or depends, the judge may ask them to leave the arena because they're just not going to get anywhere. Then he pulls them in according to what he likes. And then you have to go out, do a display, and then you come back in again. Then the judge rides them to see how they go the way he thinks they should go. And then finally you take off the saddle then and you show the horse without anybody riding how he moves. And then then you re-tack and you go out again. Then the judge pulls the people in to see to whom he likes.
Your event is when?
Friday morning at 10 o'clock.
And how do you rate the competition? What's that like? Have you had a chance to look around?
No, because none of the other ponies are in yet. They'll probably be in tomorrow evening, tomorrow morning, and be able to see. But I mean, all depends on what the judge is looking for then.
Carolyn Mack there from Kintyrnan with high hopes for their ponies on Friday. And that was just a taste of the show. It's open all week at Ballsbridge until 6:30 Saturday evening. Well, we'll take a break now, back in part two with a report from Dermot Kelly of the Irish Times about hormones in meat.
I've pounded the road from coast to coast, Yorkie and me rolling on. 'Cause a long day's run can be short on fun without Yorkie to help me along. Good, rich and thick, a milk chocolate brick, each bite a chunky big mouthful. Yorkie's the shape that real milk chocolate ought to be. So when I still that big old mill, there's plenty more in store for me from that chunky bar of mine.
Yorkie, the ultimate in milk chocolate from Rowntree Macintosh.
The Eamon Andrews Organization invites you to a night out at the luxurious Television Club Ballroom, where all the top attractions play. Wine, dine and dance at Ireland's loveliest ballroom. You'll meet the nicest people.
The Television Club.
Home sweet home. Craig Chappell. Sydney Sausage Surprise. And what about those lovely Bondi Beach lifeguards? Hello, darlings. Dame Edna Everidge, housewife, superstar and Melbourne millionaireess here. And I must say, it's lovely to be a guest in your sweet little country. And what a butch radio station you've got. As a matter of fact, possums, I'm sitting here at this very moment wearing a Radio Nova T-shirt. Trace chic, as they say, in all the best circles. Now, you'd probably say to yourselves, she's been paid to say that. Quite right. But Dame Edna doesn't put her name to any old garbage, I can tell you that. So, darlings, if you'd like one, all you have to do is troll down to the Nova Foyer at 19 Herbert Street, Dublin 2, with your £2.50, of course, or we'll send you one, and that'll cost you an extra 50 pence for postage and packing. Now, while I'm here, I think I'll sort one out for my husband, Norm. He's been very ill, you know. First of all, his legs, then his feet, and that.
And welcome back to part two. With me now is Dermot Kelly, consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times and author also of the article The Dose in Your Dinner. That's about drugs in food in today's Irish Times. Hello, Dermot, and welcome to the report.
Good evening.
First, Dermot, can we start off by trying to find out exactly how drugs get into your food?
Well, there are several ways, but two drugs we're seriously concerned about are antibiotics and hormones or growth promoters. Now, these are either taken by the animal through the feed or they're injected into the animal. And the reason why we're concerned about them are antibiotics are used for treating a lot of human illnesses. Now, the trouble about them is that if we use a lot of antibiotics, we will develop a resistance to them. If we're using these antibiotics through our meat, even though we don't know it, then we will be resistant to them if and when we get ill. The trouble about growth promoters is that, of course, they're interfering with the growth mechanism, and that can give rise to cancers, even in the second or third generation. So they might give rise to diseases in our children or our children's children, and there just isn't enough known about them to be using them in the quantities that we're using them at the moment through our meat.
Well, just how serious a problem is it? I mean, how widespread is the use of hormones in cattle, for example?
Well, it's very widespread, and their use has been increasing considerably in recent years. According to the Secretary of the Irish Veterinary Union, to whom I spoke in the course of investigating this series, he says that in the Midlands, which is the big beef-rearing area in this country, 70% of cattle are now treated with hormones. So the chances of our ingesting hormones, even though we don't know it, must be very high.
So it's a fair chance that most farmers are in fact using them now?
Yes, they are, yes.
Now, what sort of incentive do farmers have to use them, or rather not to use them?
Well, the incentives really are for the farmers to use them, because if they use hormones, they get much faster growth than if they don't use them, and that makes the animals more valuable. It costs, for instance, about £4 or £5 to put in a growth promoter into an animal. That may increase the value of the animal by £20 or £30, and if you have a large herd of cattle, of course, that's an awful lot of money. The other drug we're concerned about, antibiotics, now they're not so much used in cattle, although they are occasionally, but they're used a lot in piggeries and in poultry. And there they can have a very big economic value, because if you get some kind of disease, say in a pig fattening unit, then the using an antibiotic may get rid of the disease, and it may certainly much much more economic for the farmer than to do that, than to have to get rid of a unit full of pigs.
So in fact the antibiotics are only used, say, within the industries you've mentioned there, pig farming and poultry?
Yes, they're used to a lesser extent in cattle. In cattle, it's mainly the hormones that are used.
Now, is there any control over a farmer injecting a hormone into his cattle? Does a veterinary surgeon have to be there? Does he have to monitor how long the injection is going to be over a period of time?
Well, farmers are generally advised to leave the cattle for 60 days after they inject a hormone, because that's the time it takes for it to be fully ingested and for the hormone to work. And of course, the animal must be fed properly after that. A lot of farmers put in hormones and don't really feed the animals properly and don't get the full value for them. But there is a problem here, you see. The price of cattle fluctuates quite rapidly. So if a farmer puts in a hormone this week and he discovers in 2 or 3 weeks' time that the price of cattle has gone up and he gets an attractive offer for his cattle, and he's coming up to the time for selling, well, he may well be tempted to sell well before the time the hormone has been injected. The beast may be slaughtered and used and served as meat then well within the period when the hormone should be acting in the beast.
Now, why do you have to wait for that 60-day period? What's the point of that?
Well, you see, hormones are a gradual sort of growth promoter. They must be used along with feed. They're a very gradual thing. They don't just put on weight overnight. So the 60 days is more or less the minimum period that should be allowed. And if that's not allowed, then there may be residues in the meat.
So basically you're waiting for the goodwill of the farmer to tell whoever he's selling his cattle to that he has waited the 60-day period or maybe not.
Yes, indeed. But the interesting thing here is that if the meat is being exported, then there is a test. There is a test carried out on one in every thousand carcasses that are exported. So if a meat factory takes cattle for export, well, then it has to make sure that there are no hormone residues in that. And meat factories generally are fairly careful about this, because if there were residues found, well, then it would lead to closer checks on other carcasses. But if the meat is sold on the whole market, there are no tests, there are no checks at all.
So, in fact, our meat that's going abroad is more scrutinised than the meat we eat now?
Yes, it is indeed, yes.
Now, when you actually go to the butcher shop, is there any way you can tell that the meat you're buying has been injected with hormones that could be harmful to you and your family?
There isn't. There's really no way. You're really relying on the goodwill of your butcher, and he in turn is relying on the goodwill of the farmer from whom he bought the beast. So there's no way you can be sure. It is likely, of course, sometime in the near future that we will have to introduce some kind of regulation for the home market, the same as there is for the export market. The pressure for this really is coming from the EEC.
By what you're saying, it seems to me that it would be very difficult for a farmer not to use these methods of growth, because he simply couldn't compete with his cattle in any other way.
That's true. It certainly makes economic sense for a farmer to use them.
Mm-hmm. On another point, can it be used safely? Because it seems now it's a system that's been introduced and it will be very difficult to stop farmers using it. Is it something that can be controlled and safely used, in your opinion?
Yes, indeed, they can be safely used. Both antibiotics and hormones really are great blessings. Antibiotics are marvellous drugs, and they can kill all kinds of diseases in pigs, poultry, and indeed in cattle. And if a suitable time is left after the drug is given, well then it's perfectly safe. Hormones are good too, in that they can increase the weight of the animal within a short period, and if that's good for the farmer's pocket, well then ultimately it's good for everybody, I presume. They can be used safely, but the trouble is, at the moment, we are tending to overuse them. Farmers certainly are using far too many antibiotics. One of the reasons for that very often is that their premises are overcrowded with animals. And if, for instance, one, take a farmer who has pigs, if one pig gets a disease, well then the temptation will be to treat all the pigs in that shed, and that may be perhaps 100 pigs, even though they have no disease at all. We're simply depending too heavily on drugs for things that we should be able to do naturally. And of course, the alternative to having growth hormones would be to have different breeds of cattle which would grow more naturally than the traditional Hereford that we use in this country. For instance, Charolais is mentioned as one breed of animal that would put on weight quickly without the need for hormones. We should be looking at possibilities like that, and of course we should be concentrating as far as possible on avoiding the diseases that for which antibiotics are necessarily the remedy.
Well, finally, to sum up, Dermot, how much risk are we at when we buy our meat?
Well, one of the troubles at the moment is we just don't know how much risk we're at. We may be buying meat that's perfectly safe, and we may not. And meat may taste perfectly well. You're not going to notice these things. And indeed, the general effect of drugs may not even be felt for years. We now know, for instance, that it's only in recent times that the real effect of the use of thalidomide is emerging. So drugs are something that we really have to go very carefully on until we know what the full effects are.
Dermot, thank you very much for coming along and talking to us about it.
Thank you.
Well, that's the report tonight. Back tomorrow as usual after the 7 o'clock news. Now, I'd just like to thank Dermot Kelly of the Irish Times and hand you back to Jason Main.
Your music is Radio Nova.
Jason Main.
There was a rainbow over the mountain, over the sea, just you and me.